The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.
All right, this is Eric with WWER. We're doing another exciting edition of Porch Talk. I am here on the porch with Jeffrey Eisensmith. Jeff, how you doing today?
How's it going? Very well, thank you.
Good. Well, thank you for appearing on Porch Talk.
My pleasure.
All right, we're actually on a porch. We're at your house.
Welcome to my house.
Yeah, no kidding. So we're looking at the river. The river's a little hazy today, though.
Yeah, but it's a nice, still day, and it's been such a brutal winter. This is fabulous. It's like 50 degrees out, and I could hang out here all day long.
This is a beautiful view. Is that your pier?
Yes.
Okay, you're living fancy, Jeff.
Well, you know, worked hard, nose to the grindstone all my life, as did my wife. And so we retired here and said, let's build the perfect grandchild trap.
Okay.
And so all summer long, all the family comes, they come and they start booking now.
Sure.
For their summertime vacation weekend.
Oh my gosh. We want to learn more about that. But before we do, Jeff, this is great coffee.
Thank you.
How do you make it?
So I roast about once a week. Look at the eagle.
Oh my gosh, that's a bald eagle.
Yeah.
So that's great.
So I roast about once a week, maybe twice a week. I buy green beans, usually the unwashed variety. And I'll do a dark roast and a medium roast.
Okay. Okay.
And I mix them together.
Okay.
So you get notes of both when you actually brew the coffee. And I like to do a French press.
Mm.
So you get the oils, it's richer.
It is rich. Oh, it's good.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff. Well, my gosh. This is a wonderful view. It'd be great to see a sunrise, a little hazy. I'm being poked by your dog, Abby. Hi, Abby. How you doing? Okay. Okay, so she's a good girl.
Lay down, girl. Lay down.
Okay. Well, Jeff, all this looks great here. You're making great coffee. It's a great view. You've got a pier out there. Everything. Well, how's this start? Where were you born?
I was born in Philadelphia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Lived my whole life in Jersey.
Okay.
Off of exit 3. My view of Philadelphia is cheesesteaks.
Yes.
Great Italian food. A lot of ethnic food going on there.
I love Philly.
People don't know about things like the Mummers Parade.
The Mummers Parade?
The Mummers Parade is something like...
I don't know that.
If you've ever seen Carnival in Rio...
Yes.
It's not that grand, but you can imagine a blue-collar city...
Yes.
Trying to do Rio Carnival.
Yes.
In Philadelphia.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The Mummers Parade. And it's big.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. I like Franklin Square.
Yeah. The art museum is spectacular.
Yes, it is.
The food is just really, really wonderful.
Other cities are known for the food. Philadelphia should be.
Yes.
It's amazing.
So they call it the city of brotherly love. And that's true for everything except for the sports team.
Yes, of course it is.
That's when the blue-collar sharp elbows come out.
Didn't they throw snowballs at Santa Claus or something?
They did, and they even have a jail in the stadium.
They have a jail in the stadium?
Probably the only one in the country. But that's how rowdy.
The Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles. A jail in the stadium?
I mean, see, they would do things, but, you know, they don't always think things through. So the Eagles and the Giants had a rivalry that was epic.
Of course.
And so there would be major fights that broke out.
Oh, my God.
And so the solution was, we'll stop serving beer at halftime.
Oh, then they rioted.
But I'm thinking, if you have a 4 o'clock game, they've already gotten crushed before they walked into the stadium. Have a 1 o'clock game, for God's sake.
Right, right, right. Oh, God. So you grew up that way.
Yes.
And then in Jersey, what, you went to school, public school, private school?
I went to public public school.
Sure.
I had a very interesting career. I was a really hardcore stutterer, and so my school days were somewhat difficult. My high school career, I was suspended 6 times and expelled for a month and a half.
Because of stutter?
I was acting up because I was a frustrated youth.
Yeah, you're frustrated with that, and then did people pick on you?
Somewhat, yes. I was 5'6" and 95 pounds, up until my junior year of high school, I went on vacation for summer.
Yes.
And came back 6 foot and about 180.
Wow.
People thought I was a new kid in school.
So that's a growth spurt to have.
Yes. So I barely got out of high school. My mother wanted to walk and get the diploma because she felt she earned it more than me. The work it took to get me through right, high school.
Right.
So.
But you got the diploma.
I got my diploma. I went to trade school, became a welder.
Oh, well, okay.
I welded for about a year and a half. Kind of bent the truth a little bit and told a prospective job site that I was a welder fitter. And they took me.
What's that mean?
Well, a welder fitter is more someone that you can give a complex job to, fitting pieces together. Instead of just having everything set up and you walk up and you do a weld,
yeah,
you do the setup, the clamping, the measuring, and then you weld. And my boss knew I wasn't a welder fitter, but I was working like a maniac.
Okay. Outworking everybody.
And so he said, you know what? I'm willing to give this guy a shot.
Oh, good for you.
I learned fast.
Okay.
Worked hard. And then a year and a half later, I bent the truth again and got a job as a welder, fitter, fabricator. And the same thing.
Moving up in the world.
But within about a year, a day or two, the guy knew I wasn't a welder, fitter, fabricator. But I was working like a maniac.
Sure. There you go.
It was like rinse and repeat. So yeah. I was a welder, fitter, fabricator. 5 years in, making fabulous money.
Okay.
But the conditions were hard. So I'm working making custom cabinets, like the kind you see in the movies where the nuclear reactors are, the big, like 20-foot high cabinets.
Those huge metal cabinets.
6 foot deep.
Oh, my word.
They had catwalks on the inside, crash doors.
Yes.
I would build those things. They were so big.
Oh, my Lord.
That I'd build the first one, and then I would have start the second one to get the end to match.
Okay.
That one would get shipped to a factory to get stuffed.
Oh, wow.
And I'd complete that one, and I'd build the next one. So, these things were huge.
Huge.
But the problem was, I'm working in New Jersey. It was August, about 92 degrees.
And 80, then welding.
85% humidity.
Yeah.
You can't have any fan on you because the fan blows away. The gas is protecting the weld. You get porosity, and the welds are ruined. So
Sure. You're
literally, I'm standing in a pair of boots, heavy jeans.
Yes.
T-shirt, heavy shirt, full leathers.
Yep.
Leather gloves.
Yep.
Hat, welding shield in front of a glowing piece of metal.
Yes.
With no air flowing in August.
Yes.
Hot.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Yep.
So I decided maybe I need to think about.
That's why they're paying you big money.
Going to changing career. So I decided to go to school. I decided to be a welding engineer because I was a welder.
Right? Okay,
What else are you going to do? So I went to community college because, like I said, my high school career was colorful. Let's just put it that way. Worked really hard. Transferred to Rutgers in engineering.
Okay. Rutgers is a good school.
Yeah, I had transferred into an engineering physics program.
Okay, wow.
Which was working specifically towards designing application-specific integrated circuits. So basically, somebody would have a fairly big device of all these electronic components.
Okay.
I could transfer all those components onto a microchip, shrink it down in size, reduce the power. And I was in my junior year, the second half of my junior year, and I got a phone call from, I remember the name, Supervisor Special Agent Kennedy. He said, he said, I need to talk.
All right, okay, you've got me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, he says, I need to talk to Jeff Eisenstein. I said, well, who's calling?
Yeah.
This is Supervisory Special Agent Kennedy from the FBI. And I'm thinking, oh, good Lord, what have I gotten caught for? And my mind is just racing, you know.
Oh,
what am I doing?
Okay.
And I said, yeah, this is him speaking. And he plays me for 5 minutes. He's like, this, that, and the other. And then he starts laughing. He says, I'm just playing with you. I talked to one of your professors at Rutgers. He recommended you. I'm out recruiting, and I think you'd be a good fit. Would you mind coming into the Philadelphia office and interviewing? And I said, okay, all right. So
okay, so from welding.
So
into the FBI door.
Yeah, I'm still welding. I was welding part-time to get myself through school.
Through school, sure.
I never was a full-time student. I was always a student that was working 20, 25, 30 hours a week and then just doing school at night.
Sure, sure.
So I went in to do the interview. I had a second interview, and next thing I know, background investigation starts, and by the time I graduated, I had a job. I'm one of these very few people that went to school for a specific thing and got a job doing exactly that.
Yes.
So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, come to think of it.
So I went to work for the FBI. I was using DARPA tools and DARPA foundries to design microcircuits specific. So the Bureau would have a device that was covert, but basically was a briefcase that did camera and audio. And I was able to shrink that down to something that could fit into a pack of cigarettes by getting rid of a lot of the discrete components, sticking them onto a couple of microchips, getting them together and putting them into a new format that you could actually hide. So that really was kind of a dream job for me. I went from welding.
You're welding a seam, right?
Well,
and then to make it spy equipment.
The welding job was great because at the end, a welder, fitter, fabricator, I'd be given 16, 17 blueprints.
Okay.
And I'd have a day to study them. And then I'd have like one guy full-time cutting metal, two helpers, and I would build complex things.
Sure.
So that was a challenge. But, you know, the environment was tough.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just didn't see welding being an overly healthy thing for long range.
All right, Jeff, this is where I interrupt you, Jeff, because if our listeners are listening, we want to go right back to that spy case. Okay.
So this was great. I mean, I was working for the Bureau.
Oh, my gosh.
I was doing a lot of miniaturization of systems, but I got other jobs, too. Like
what?
The hostage rescue team.
Oh, my God.
Had this amazing robot that went into like radioactive spaces where human beings couldn't go. And they were using that for hostage negotiation.
Okay.
And they were saying, I can get audio back from, I'm talking to the hostage taker.
Sure.
But they can't hear what I'm saying. Would you please take a look?
Oh, so you want to put a speaker in there?
Well, so I looked and I saw shielded lines going out.
Sure.
And the line coming from the hostage negotiator to the robot was unshielded. And that's 240 line, right? So that AC signal was wiping out the audio.
Okay.
So, you know, I just did a step-up transformer that, you know, took the 5 volts for the microphone.
Okay.
Bumped it up to like 10,000. Ran it down the line and then stepped it back down again to a speaker. Problem solved.
So, this is electrical engineering.
Yeah. So the job was, I could do the circuit design, which is what I went to school for.
Sure.
But I just had a blast doing all the other jobs that they would throw.
Oh my gosh, this is great. So now the robot can talk and listen.
Yes, which was very helpful because the deal with hostage negotiation is the first thing you want to do is get the first compromise. And the first compromise usually was, get that robot out of here. Okay.
Yes.
If you want the robot going, this is what I need you to do.
Yes, yes.
And there's the first step.
Yes.
In the process.
Yes. Wow. Okay, so what else? Okay, so after the robot.
So I did things like, there was a case running in California, illegal dumping in a stream. And they needed a way to remotely trigger and sample from the stream. So the agents would be standoff, maybe a mile away with binoculars. And I set a system up where an industrial sampler tied it to an Icon handheld radio.
Okay.
With a little bit of electronics attached to it. So the agent would take a sample as they were setting up the dump, take a couple samples while they were dumping into the river.
Yes.
And then take a couple samples after they were done dumping and putting their lines back in the truck. And then they would go arrest the truck driver. Okay. And the argument, well, hey, it wasn't me. It was already there. Well, it's clean before you got there. It was dirty when you were dumping, and now it's clean after you're done. I think that's not the case.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
And then, so I shifted. I was doing all my tool design using DARPA tools, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency.
Okay, okay.
And so DARPA came and said, we'd like you to detail to us for a couple of years. And I said, you don't know the Bureau. The Bureau is pretty one way.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Everything's about them.
Sure.
So they're going to say no to that. But here's what you can do. You can give me the projects to run the tool development that I'm using.
All right, right.
And they went, okay. And so I was working with DARPA, doing a lot of advanced contracting, working on the tools I was using to make and found the chips.
Okay.
So I was, back in the day, running on a 300 mod Bodum with a Spark One computer. Before the internet was created, there was probably like 25 sites, mostly military and university.
Yes.
On this network.
Yes.
And I was on it. This is how I would transfer my tools to the DARPA foundries. This is how I would talk to my contractors, the universities that were doing the development. And I said, you know, if I had a foreign intel case on this network,
yes,
how would I do it? So I went to the Bureau and I said to my unit chief, I think if I had a lab rat and maybe $300,000, 6 months, I can probably come up with something that if there was a case, I could do it.
Yes.
So I was successful.
Oh, my word.
So when the first major internet case came and they wanted to do a collection on a case involving a pedophile, the Bureau asked, can we do an intercept on that? And I said, yes, we can.
So this is the first cases where you're catching criminals essentially
using the internet.
Yeah, but yeah, right, using the internet. Wow.
So it was really an amazing thing. Yeah. So I retired in 2018.
2018, okay.
And you know what the thing that I enjoyed the most?
What?
Sleep. An uninterrupted sleep.
5 years of no sleep.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
mean,
when I worked at ICE, it was that way as well. And when I worked for the FBI, it was that way as well.
Sure.
The Bureau would say, hey, we got somebody coming in country in 72 hours, and this is what I need from you. And I'm like, well, I don't have a kit for that. All mm-hmm. right, well, start building it.
So you're in Spotsylvania.
Right.
Eventually, you end up here in Colonial Beach. It sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, you're in the FBI, you're this, you're that, you're making some money.
Yeah.
You could have lived anywhere. You have friends and family in New Jersey, I guess, in Pennsylvania. Right. You could have gone anywhere up and down the East Coast. Of all the places, Colonial Beach and why?
Well, when I was in the FBI, one of my mentors, Thomas Mullen, was a fabulous runner. He did a 2-hour, 31-minute Marine Corps marathon.
Okay.
That's like world class. He's just an amazing runner.
Okay.
So I would run with him.
All right.
And I'd pick his brain and he would share stories and I kind of just was vacuuming up everything he knew. He had a heart problem. Found out it was just fixed completely by a pacemaker. And he said, to celebrate, we're going to do a triathlon.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, when is the triathlon? 6 days.
Wow.
Where?
And you haven't trained?
In Colonial Beach. He said, Dan is going to do the run. I'm going to do the bike. I'm thinking, oh, crap, I got to do the swim.
You're doing the swim?
And so I love this man. I couldn't refuse him anything.
Okay.
I got 6 days to prepare to swim in Colonial Beach.
Wow. So that's how you discover Colonial Beach.
Yeah.
Because you're going to do a triathlon swim out there in the river.
So I end up in Colonial Beach.
That's amazing.
I darn near drowned. It was just Horrible.
We're glad you didn't.
So I went in the first group.
Okay.
The elites.
The elites.
And I'm swimming, right? And people are swimming over me.
Okay.
And I get to the first buoy. It's like a triangle shaped
course. Yes, it
course. Is. I get to the first buoy, and I swallowed so much air that I can't breathe anymore.
Okay.
So I'm just treading water.
Oh, no.
Thinking to myself.
You're not dog paddling, are you?
I'm just treading water.
Oh, my Lord.
I gotta either burp, vomit, die, maybe some combination of those three. And I let loose three amazing burps, and my diaphragm is now free.
Oh, my God.
And I swim to the second of the triangle buoys.
So the
and it happens again. So there I am. Then I'm treading water. In the meantime, the second wave goes in, right? The third wave goes in. I finally come out of the water, and they're like, we thought you drowned. They were talking about, I'm always long on the even weeks for his wife. You do the odd weeks.
Right.
I came out of the water for dragon. They were hugging me.
Oh, my gosh.
I did so badly, but they did so well. We won.
You won.
The men's team competition that year.
Oh, my God.
I have a trophy downstairs.
Oh, my God.
No thanks to me.
No thanks to you. Oh, my God. So you almost drowned. Oh, okay.
So after that, I decided I'm going to train.
Yes.
I'm going to come back next year. I'm going to do the whole thing myself.
Yes.
And I did probably 8 or 9 triathlons here in Colonial Beach. So yes. That's how I learned about this place.
So you learned it through the triathlons, your friends.
Right.
And then you bought a house here when?
In 2016.
You bought this house.
Right. I still had 2 years to work. And
this is a nice house.
One heck of a commute. Thank you.
Oh, that's right. If you bought this house and when?
2016, and I retired in 2018.
Oh, so 2 years you're driving from here to?
I drove to Fredericksburg, got on the train.
Oh, that's not too bad.
And as soon as I cracked my laptop, I had a wireless node, and I was working from the moment I got on the train till I got into the office. And when I was done in the office, I was working the whole way back on the train. So
that train is long, though. It's an hour and a half?
So it's an hour and a half of the VRE.
Yep.
It's an hour if you take the Amtrak. And I would try and take the Amtrak as much as I could.
Sure.
But in that hour and a half, I would get all my communications done. All my email was, I could take my time and really kind of like do one email that stopped the pitter-patter of just throwing something out there and several more to clarify.
Yes.
So when I got home, pretty much I had my time unless something went bump in the night and then the old drill of no sleep.
So 2 years of that, and then are you retired?
I've been retired since 2018, and I did one short stint of I was mentoring. There was an organization, I won't give the name of the department. They had a CISO they were having a hard time with.
Oh.
And
so they brought you back in to clean it up?
So OMB said, we found a contract vehicle for you.
Okay.
With Mason Harriman. If you want to, we'll just hire you to come in and just mentor this person.
Okay.
And I tried. It just didn't work out. Some people are just not suited for the job.
So you went back to help out, but now you're fully retired.
Right. Yeah. And that one, I didn't have to travel. That was all done on Skype.
Oh. So, when Skype was a thing.
So I was sitting on my porch.
Right.
Literally talking this person through some of the problems that they were having.
Right, right.
So that's the only real work I did. And then after that, I started plugging into the community. I got involved with CB Green Space.
Okay, well, you're retired here.
Yes.
So you get involved in CB Green Space. I've heard of that. You know, I live here too.
Right.
What is CB Green Space?
So CB Green Space is mostly about trying to find ways to have the public enjoy green spaces.
Is this a nonprofit?
It's a nonprofit, right. Our focus is things like, let me make the parks better. We are the stewards of the garden that's on Washington Avenue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the community garden.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know that.
So we have worked to to renovate the beds, brought in soil, we brought in irrigation, we built a community around it.
Okay.
Last year, under the leadership of Patricia, we were able to donate close to 300 pounds of food to the local food pantries.
Okay. So nonprofits, if you're doing, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but I guess as a nonprofit, you have a mission or a mission statement.
Sure.
Like, is this like you're planting green space to
feed people? No, green space, this is just one aspect of green space. The other thing we're doing too is we are putting in a rain garden at the community center.
Okay.
So think of it this way. At the peninsula, and also in the rest of the town,
okay,
when we have a major deluge, 2 days of rain,
yes,
the area floods.
It does.
And even has major, major flooding.
Yes, it does.
The problem is everybody has a roof that sheds the water.
Yes.
If they have a concrete driveway or a tar driveway, that sheds the water.
Yes.
Where does the water go? Everybody is sharing their water with their neighbors.
Yes.
Who are sharing it with their neighbors, which are sharing it with their neighbors. And in the end, it has to go somewhere. In the end, it floods areas of the town. So the idea of a rain garden is you keep your water on your property. You don't have mosquitoes. It's usually a nice, pretty bed.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost a lot of money. It's great for the town. It's great for nature. It makes the town be beautified.
Sure, sure.
We're trying to introduce a rain garden at the community center as an example for what people could do. Because if we do things like repair sidewalks.
Yes.
But we don't take care of the flooding.
The sidewalks will break again.
It's good money for bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Solve the root problem. And then when you do things like put in new sidewalks, they'll actually be around for a while.
So there is, I know this, I got a sheet. I think it was available in the planning and zoning office, in the town offices.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed plants I could put. And some of the plants really drink water. I put a couple of those in my flooded front yard because my front yard always floods.
Right.
It doesn't flood anymore. Those plants drink the water.
Good, amazing things.
So there are, green space solution?
That's very, very close to it. I mean, there are really a whole bunch of solutions. Things like rain barrels. So you catch the initial flow.
Yes.
And then you release the water later, a day or two or 3 days later, or you use it to water your yard.
When it's dry.
And that way you're not taking all that water and just flooding everything around you.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
The rain garden itself is a little more involved, but it's still not a complex thing. Anybody can do it.
Yes.
The one that's going in by the community center will be one that will showcase three levels. The first one is going to be mostly dry feet, and they'll be on the rim of the rain garden.
Okay.
Wet, dry feet, and then wet feet plants.
Yes.
And Virginia Tech and the Extension Office have programs and website material that will tell you these are the plants for all those zones.
Yes. Okay. So there are homeowners who have to do like stormwater abatement.
Right.
And so they put in rain gardens, let's say.
That would be a good way to mitigate a problem of, hey, you want to put something else on your yard that's not going to absorb water.
Right.
How about you do a mitigation technique so that you can get a permit? That's one of the ways to do it, yes.
So let's say I'm a homeowner and I get told I have to do a stormwater mitigation plan. That's going to cost me money. Will CB Green Space come and help me?
So we will certainly give you ideas.
Yes.
We can give you, and so the example garden is going to be one way to say, this is a larger scale than you need, but this is what it looks like.
So it's community engagement, community like training.
Yes, right. And also CB Green Space does a lot of things like we did classes on gardening, on composting, on I think there's one coming up in the fall for canning.
Canning.
Yeah.
Oh, so CB Green Space is branching out.
So it's everything. It's engagement with the town to enjoy open areas.
Okay.
Are
you the CISO of? Are you the CISO of?
No, this is much more laid okay. back, and I'm thankful for that.
How are you involved in CB Green Space? You volunteer?
Yes, we have a board that works with the town.
Okay.
For instance, Sally is a great person to work with us.
Sure.
Whenever we do things like we clean up the Riverwalk, we work with the town. Public Works comes out and they will pick up all what we bin for them.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So it's basically a joint effort.
What's your role there?
I am the president of CB Green Space. Chris is the vice president. We've got directors that we have a director specifically for the garden.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is Patricia Therese is in charge of the rain garden. We have Donna from the Buzz as the treasurer. My wife is working in charge of membership.
Oh,
it's a great way for people. We are a fairly, the thing I love about Colonial Beach is it's such a diverse community.
Yes, it is.
Right. I mean, I love the fact that there is this diversity. It's a lot more fun.
Yes.
It's never boring.
What have you done there since you've become president? I mean, well, did you grow it? It's fairly new, isn't it?
It's been around for a while.
Oh, okay.
Most organizations, they ebb and flow. I took over maybe 3 years ago.
Okay, so what's happened in the last 3 years?
We did a major renovation to the garden. So we brought in something like 15 cubic yards of new topsoil. We retopped the beds in the garden.
Yes.
We built 3 handicap beds that are tall for people that can't do low work.
Okay.
So if you have one of those walkers,
yeah,
we have beds where you can do a garden and not have any problems.
Or even someone with bad knees.
Yes.
Yeah.
We built 3 handicap beds.
Good.
For wheelchairs.
Yeah, okay.
So they roll in. There's room for them, and we've had great success with that. We brought in an irrigation system.
That's not cheap.
It really wasn't that expensive, and I basically built it out of PVC and a couple irrigation tools, and it took me maybe about a week to do with some help from some volunteers.
Sure, okay, okay.
We brought in, for the wheelchairs to come into the garden, we cleared out the dirt. We brought in a lattice work, put back the dirt, and put white clover down. So you can drive a truck on that. The wheelchairs can roll in and get to their wheelchair gardens.
Yes.
But it perks. In a town that has flooding problems, that's an example of how you can do a construction job.
Yes.
That embraces the fact that you want everything to perk.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so this is good. Membership has increased?
Somewhat, yes. Yes. We haven't really grown that much, but I think maybe this year will be the year people will see the garden for the third year and see all the great things that we're doing. They'll see the rain garden, and that should perk up some interest.
Sure.
I'm going to try and work with the town to see if we can have a memorandum of agreement where they will allow me to kind of have a hand at taking control of the Riverwalk. The idea would be we replace a lot of the non-native plants with native plants.
Yes.
Kind of dress it up and say, if you walked down this trail 100 years ago, this is what it might have looked like before all these invasive species were dropped in.
Right, right.
But to do that, I would like to have the town agree the way they did with the garden. To say, this is your space. You take care of it. Tell us what you need. There are things the town will demand of us. Like, we have an insurance policy that covers the garden.
Mm-hmm. If I want to know information, like I want to participate in the community garden, I want to learn more about stormwater mitigation, I want to see what you're doing over there with the plants at the community center. How do I find out more information about CB Green Space? Don't tell me Facebook.
Facebook.
Oh, for God's sake.
And there's also...
All right, how about people who are not on Facebook? Believe it or not.
You can just do the URL at www.cbgreenspace.org.
Okay, www.cbgreenspace.org. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Facebook. Yeah. Any upcoming events?
If you wanted to come to the garden... I think we might have a second composting class coming up, maybe. We will be advertising on WWER, our favorite radio station.
And the reason I ask is because I can see it coming up on the calendar. You do have a composting class coming up, a couple of weeks, whatever it may be.
You know, that's the greatest thing. I mean, it's
great.
You don't have to do a lot of work.
That's right.
And you're keeping good trash. Compost should not go to the dump where it's never used again.
Right.
I've been composting in this yard for 9 years.
Okay.
I take my compost and I spread it out on top of the yard because the soil here is from the Mesozoic period. It's just clay.
Oh, it's awful.
Hard.
Oh, it's awful.
Look at that lawn.
That lawn, it looks a lot better than my lawn.
I use no chemicals.
I believe that.
Right. I just spread that compost that I create from all my household compost, and it works wonders.
It does. That's a good looking.
And, you know, living next to the river, this is something you can spread around your yard and not worry about it leaching into the river and causing things like red algae blooms and all that other nonsense.
Yes. We've been sitting out here with the porch dog for a while. Some of the haze is lifting. It's looking nice out there, isn't it?
Yes.
It's beautiful. All right. You're involved in green space. What do you see in the future of CB Green Space?
The future of CB Green Space will be probably a lot more engagement. We have a couple of master gardeners that are directors.
Okay.
So we'll probably be plugging into and offering classes on gardening, on canning, composting.
Yes.
We're thinking about independently having 4 days a year where we'll organize trash pickup in the town.
That'd be nice.
Get people out and just basically
clean up.
Yeah, clean up days.
Yes.
To include maybe some river areas as well as just the streets.
Sure. What's one thing, aside from CB Green Space, what's one thing you would like to see in Colonial Beach?
So I think one thing that would be achievable would be unifying.
Achievable is the key, isn't it?
Right. Yes. Colonial Avenue and Washington Avenue are two big showcase streets.
Absolutely.
So it's one thing to say, hey, I really would like to have a lot of flowering shrubs and flowers in those areas, but the operations and maintenance tail, the O&M tail associated with that is somewhat daunting. Green space cannot be responsible for the care and watering and feeding and pruning of all these plants
all throughout
the streets.
Yeah, right.
So maybe using something like Main Street, we can find a way the town can partner with the businesses. Green space can maybe help out in some way.
Yeah. Okay. So like a green space business relationship.
No, more or less, green space will be sitting on a red silk pillow, expounding upon tenable, maintainable
strategies
to bring some flowers and vegetation to soften the streets and make it look better.
Beautify Colonial, beautify Washington.
Yes. Those are our two big streets. And I also would like to see the Riverwalk.
Yes.
That has so much potential.
I know it does.
So right now, people come to the ice cream shop that's on Washington.
Right.
And they see the garden.
The pink poodle.
And we've taken the gates away.
Yes.
And people come walking into the garden, and we have sunflowers. The gardeners will grow their garden vegetables, but they'll also have flowers going. People take their ice creams, and they walk through there, and it's a highlight for the town. The same thing could happen with the Riverwalk, too.
Yes.
So there's a lot that can be done to make the town even nicer than it is now.
Sure. And in summer, there's a lot of people there all the time.
Yes.
So if you're interested, you could just walk up to somebody if you want to.
Right.
Okay. Well, great. Where do you see Colonial Beach and green space or any of this maybe 3 to 5 years from now?
3 to 5 years. Jeez. hopefully the town continues. I like the leadership we have. I'm very pleased with it. They're really trying to walk the line of you have to have growth, but let's do it smartly. I love the diversity. The Artists Guild, the studios.
Yes,
that are coming
I know.
All that stuff is
CB Creative.
All that stuff is fabulous.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah. So more and more of that. Maybe some more shows. Maybe some smaller stuff using the community stage.
Okay, yes, theater in the park.
Theater in the park.
Yes. Oh gosh. Okay. Well, we've been sitting out here on this wonderful porch. You know, sometimes I do porch talks and we're not even on a porch.
Oh, there you go. Maybe this will be a trend.
Yeah, it's nice out here. Jeff, by the way, I've known you for a while. Some people call you Jefe.
Yes.
Where'd they get that from?
All right. I came down here when I was working at DHS, and a couple of my compatriots came down with me for the weekend, and they... So I was sitting in CB Brewery.
Okay, sure.
And they happened to call me Jefe, kind of just kind of a pet
it's
name.
Chief.
Yes, it's kind of a pet name. And the bartender at the time, Nick.
Yes.
Heard that.
And it stuck.
And he just has to hear something one time.
Yes.
And that's the end of it.
That's the end of it.
So that's how the name Jefe began.
Okay, I find this fascinating because I've known you for some time.
Right.
I know you're from New Jersey.
Yes.
You know, but not all of this CISO and then such I think the beginnings of cybersecurity, sounds like to me.
Yeah, well,
it's amazing, really.
Certainly the defense. The thing I like.
It's amazing.
The thing that helped me so much was I did both offense and defense. Most cyber defenders have never done the offensive part.
That's amazing.
I did all my offense under court order.
So we have a celebrity here.
No, it's just someone that found themselves in a very unique time in a very unique place.
Well, this is Porch Talk. We get to know our neighbor. You're a heck of a neighbor, right?
Thank you.
Anyway, I don't know what I enjoyed most. Talking to you about all this stuff, looking at the view. Abby is a wonderful dog, but this coffee is delicious.
So, it's been a pleasure.
Jeff, thank you so much. Hope you have a great day. Thank you for being on Porch Talk. What's your favorite radio station?
WWER. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.